I'm Sima Shapiro, the host of the new Contemporary Lifestyle Radio Show for Women Over 40, featuring everything about your health, wealth, children, happiness, and anything else of interest to you, the listener. Please stay tuned. Hi and welcome. I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. Today we'll be talking with the owner of a yoga studio and a mindfulness meditation teacher, both of whom espouse Eastern modalities and the benefits of how they live and teach. Laura Jane Mellencamp is a certified yoga therapist who has been changing people's lives for 3 decades. As founder and director of one of Chicago area's premier yoga studios, Yoga Among Friends, Laura Jane has led classes, seminars, and workshops throughout the country for leading organizations. She was the 2013 keynote speaker for the American Diabetes Association and private teacher to the Jim Henson family, the president of Columbia Pictures, and many others. Laura is known for her depth of knowledge, practical wisdom, and unique ability to transmit yogic teachings and practices to students from all walks of life. Lisa Sparagna has been practicing meditation and yoga for over 15 years. Her daily meditation practice brings her more awareness, and she enjoys sharing her practice with others. She uses meditation and mindfulness to lead people back to the quiet of their own inner wisdom. Lisa came into meditation through her years of yoga studies. She has a 500-hour advanced yoga certification and has spent many years studying and practicing meditation. She currently teaches both personal and corporate meditation classes in the Chicago area. Through her structured study of meditation, she is always learning more and more about herself and the practice of meditation. She quotes, "In the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities. In the expert's mind, there are few." So welcome, Laura and Lisa.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about your journey to your present incarnation, Laura.
It's a long journey. It's a wonderful journey. And it started because I recognized very early on that I was a very anxious human being. I struggled a lot with learning disabilities as a child, and over time recognized that my health was being affected. And I enjoyed learning about a tool that I have seen grow over the last 30 years, incredibly. And I'm grateful that yoga is as popular as it is. I recognize that it's something that changes us for the better. I am no longer look at anxiety or depression as a handicap, but as a wonderful opportunity to keep growing and looking at a way to heal our lives inside, not just on the outside, but on the inside. So yoga has been a modality in my life that I see growing, and I'm excited today that you're actually hosting a program on this.
It's my pleasure. So Lisa, tell me a little about your own journey.
So my journey began with yoga. I came into meditation through yoga. I had been practicing on and off since college. I became much more interested in it in 2001. And as I became more interested in yoga, I got certified. I began teaching. And then I had an injury to my back that limited my ability to practice and teach. And I found that my meditation practice became my daily practice. It helped me not only with my injury, but also emotionally. It helped me in my connection with others, and I continued to practice meditation. And, of course, I went back to meditation and yoga. And now I feel that meditation is just something that is a tool I use on a daily basis. It's part of my life, and it's helped me in so many ways, and I want to share that with others. And it's just been a great experience for me to have found this tool, and I want to bring it out to the world. So I do appreciate you having this radio show and bringing us to light.
So before we get into the specifics about what this means and how do you practice it, I'm wondering what you feel about the fad of yoga and mindfulness meditation, because they're becoming buzzwords today. Do you have any sense of that, Laura?
I understand, yes. I find that when people say New Age, it's as if it just started, when yoga has been around for thousands and thousands of years. And it's a study that takes many, many years. That means it's a practice. And what happens is people are looking for a quick fix. What's beautiful about yoga, it's a lifestyle. So it would be like telling a dentist and going to a dentist, you brush your teeth once and you're cured. Every day you brush your teeth. We've learned it. It's part of our lifestyle. And you're preventing what you hope is cavities or gum disease. Well, when you practice yoga mindfulness, you are working a holistic system for the entire body, and it's a daily commitment. And when people make a quick fix, a buzzword, they're looking for outcome. And that's like looking for happiness, looking for the next job, looking for the next relationship. We're always seeking outward. The teaching is the beauty of coming inward with appreciation for where you are, which is a whole new mindset. So yes, it's not a quick fix. And I find that the training of it, the work of it has to be respected as a complementary model with integrated medicine, with looking at all of your complementary and holistic health modalities.
And Lisa, so again, how do you feel about the fact that these have become buzzwords? What do you think about that in terms of faddism?
I love the fact that people are trying it. I agree with Laura Jane. I think that meditation and yoga is a practice that we have to take in on a daily basis to see the beautiful effects of it. And I find that if people are trying it out, I think it's wonderful. And I encourage that. I also remind people that it's not easy. And it does take a daily commitment and it takes practice. But honestly, it is becoming more and more mainstream. We are seeing it in our schools, hospitals, businesses. The military are using it. Prisons are using it. So it's out there. And I think the more people can grab onto it and make it a daily practice, the more they're going to see the effects of it and how it can help in a very safe and very easy way to approach it, too. I mean, meditation is something you can do at the privacy of your home. You don't have to go out and do it. You can find a teacher you like online. So there's a way to put it into your daily life. You just have to make that commitment and you will see the changes.
Laura, what exactly is yoga and how does yoga differ from yoga therapy?
All yoga is therapeutic. But our biased idea of yoga, unfortunately, has made yoga an exercise or a sport. And for thousands of years, it was a tool for the mind. And it's a many tools. It's not just using the body. It's not just a posture or an asana. It's understanding the function of why we're doing those poses. And that was to open the system to use the breath. So yoga relates with breath. Now, breath is, unfortunately, we don't have space for breath. If your body is cramped or you're tight or you're under stress, you can't take a breath in. So the mind has to be influenced to be able to influence the thought that brings you into a breath that opens up the body. So we engage mind, body, breath, and we're linking these. Now, we use it therapeutically for any range of holistic health, from the physical ailments to the emotional ailments, to your mental agitations, so that we find balance in our lives. And therapeutically, it was used not for perfection or getting you to be in a headstand or look perfect in a Lululemon outfit. It's to be feeling good, to be in wellness, to be vital, to be fit, to still your mind for focusing. And this is something that is life skills that we don't have. We're losing our focusing ability. And we're agitated, and we're turning agitation right now into an extreme disease, which is called autoimmune dysfunction. So the autoimmune system is constantly being depleted in our lives today.
Do you have any stats in terms of how many yoga therapy practitioners there are, how many people do yoga? Do you have any stats from
today? Yes, the IAYT, which is the International Yoga Therapist Association, and National Center for Complementary and Integrated Health have done a lot of studies. And now we're looking at as this complementary field of integrated medicine. Out of a population of thousands, tens of thousands of people around the country doing yoga now, and since 2002 when they started to do surveys into 2014, we have seen a huge increase in health for all of yoga benefits. But now, because of finally getting accreditation, we are looking at a population that are really making yoga therapy the value of working in hospitals and schools. And that increase now is 8% of yoga teachers are really trained in yoga therapy. And this is why it's a whole new four-way that we're presenting, that mm-hmm. we know it's a health model.
How many people do yoga?
Since 2012, we were looking at 17% of the population, tens of thousands mm-hmm. that are now involved in a study. It was 34,525 adults that were surveyed, 18 and older. 80% of those users received the reduced stress level.
Do you think that's on the increase?
Every year it's in the increase. It's become a phenomenal business. Health centers, hospitals, it is an increase in cancer research. I mean, as far as modalities for helping, healing, and complementary medicine. We are not curing with yoga. We don't profess to cure, but complementary with all of these ailments, it's increasing. And doctors are recommending and prescribing that people practice yoga.
And how does yoga work? And how does it actually heal?
You recognize that it's alleviating the stresses in our lives through our thoughts. So now yoga doesn't tell you to change a thought. What it does is it gives you permission to focus on a physiology of the body, which is your breath. By shifting the physiology of our body, it affects the brain. You're seeing through neurologists and the understanding of the limbic system and the horrors of the vagus nerve that is prone to the adrenals. By calming the sympathetic nervous system and awakening the sympathetic parasympathetic nervous system, it calms the system. By calming your system, you're coming into balance. Our lifestyles are out of balance. Our whole world is shifting from an out of balance, so we're trying to shift into balanced state of mind, which we call a state of yoga, which makes us fit for meditation, for alertness, for being present, living in the now, not rushing ahead of yourself or worried or caught in your doubts. So it calms the nervous system, which heals the body. Your body's working too hard. Physically, it can't keep up with the thought. We are seeing such a shift now in people's attitudes. The stress levels go down, so it affects your blood pressure. Blood pressure goes down. Your sugar levels go down. We've seen a huge shift in diabetes from doing yoga. We've seen a huge shift from cardiovascular problems. We're also seeing all the gastro problems with IBS, Crohn's disease, all the things that affect digestion. Yoga, when you're in a state of the parasympathetic nervous system, the digestive juices can start to be done for digestion. We don't assimilate our thoughts, our food, our emotions, and we've used an epidemic now of painkillers. All the painkillers have cut off of the receptors that allow for this natural state of balance. So we're avoiding pain, but yoga allows us to alleviate the pain by getting breath into the system.
I did mean to ask you, what are some of the demographics for people who are stepping up to the plate and starting their yoga practice?
Mostly it's on the East Coast and it's in the West Coast. That's where the demographics are most popular. But we've seen now a shift coming into the Middle America, Oklahoma, Texas is huge. All the way up Middle America, we're seeing the shift of bringing yoga and now slowly coming into the South. But predominantly, it has always been the East Coast or the West Coast that have moved these holistic models into our popular culture. Yoga started out big in California when I started in the 80s. That's where I started with it. But prior to that, in the late 70s, I was doing yoga in New York City. So it has been on the coast for many, many years.
And in terms of age ranges, do you have any stats on that?
Most popular is the 20 to 40 range. That's when most people are curious about yoga. Vinyasa flow right now is the most popular form of just yoga.
And what is that?
Vinyasa flow is linking the movement with the breath so that the body is actually being engaged with the inhale breath and the exhale breath. So you're following a rhythm of the mindfulness of your breath. And so we call it moving meditation. It's becoming fit to still the mind because the nature of mind is always roaming. So in order to get the mindfulness to come inward, you are linking the mind to a rhythm or a flow of breath. This is the most popular. And most people go into yoga thinking of flexibility. But this is now changing. People are now coming into yoga for stress reduction, strength. They're looking at overall wellness and actually a spiritual development. They're looking for something greater. And they're coming inward for that tapping into that spiritual element.
Lisa, I think it's time to bring you into the fold. So tell me a little bit about mindfulness meditation. What types are there? And how do you get certified?
So meditation is really a concentrated focus on one thing. I think oftentimes people think, if I sit down, cross-legged, sit very still, and clear my mind, I'll meditate. And then they get very frustrated. But really, it's not about completely clearing our minds, because that would be very, very difficult to do. So meditation brings in the focus of one thing. And mindfulness is paying attention on purpose from moment to moment. So we replace the busy thought with something like the breath or a mantra, whatever can bring us back to focusing on one thing and letting go of the many, many thoughts that our mind goes to. And the different types, I mean, there's probably over 20 different types of meditation, but the ones that I see more often and what I use too is breath meditation, which, you know, you focus on the breath. It becomes the anchor for the mind. You come back to the breath. You can use a mantra meditation, which is silently repeating a word or a phrase. This also gives your mind something to grab onto. There's metta meditation that's about loving kindness. There is body scan meditation, which I also use, is bringing awareness to each part of the body. So again, the mind has something to grab onto. There's even visualization when you can take somebody down a path and into a place of pleasure for them, like taking them to the ocean and to the forest. So there's a visualization you can go on. There's walking meditation, which is very much about being mindful and connecting as you take one step and another step with the breath, with the body. So there's many of them, actually, and those are just a few. And I find that I use a combination of them. I always use the breath meditation to help people focus. I also oftentimes use a mantra, because some people will find that the breath, it's difficult to just stay with the breath. And so I use a mantra for them, and always do the body scan, because for me it's important that they start from the physical and then move inward so that they can connect to their body and then move into the more subtle breath and follow that. Because honestly, the mind wants to keep drifting. And that's understandable, but sometimes all we do when we practice meditation is come back, because the whole time we're meditating, we may have drifted off. We may have all of a sudden like, oh, I'm in my thinking mind right now. And that's okay. You come back with loving kindness and compassion, no criticism, and you find your anchor. You find your breath, which is the anchor to coming back, or you use your mantra. So there's different tools within meditation to bring you back. Because our mind can take us into situations that may never happen. So we want to have a tool to come back and settle in.
How many mindfulness meditation practitioners are there in the country, and how many people practice?
Well, according to the National Institute of Health, 8% of Americans meditate. And that was out of 18 million that meditate. While the majority of those who partake are baby boomers, there has been an uptick in meditation participation amongst the Gen X group. And among those, we're finding that women are the highest amount.
So why do you think this appeals to those differing groups?
Well, I think that the baby boomers and the Gen X, I mean, they're looking for ways to de-stress. They're looking for some relief. And their lives are filled with between work and caring for a family or taking care of elder parents or whatever's going on in their life. It's full and it's stressful. They would like another tool, like Laura talked about, something other than possibly medication that they can use to come back to a state of calm, a state of, you know, relaxation.
Laura, what do you say to those people who feel that this type of New Age practice has to be a cult or religion?
When people are coming with a resistance of their thought because of a biased opinion, they're coming already with a closed mind. So you have to meet people where they are. And it's not about defending or making yoga better than their belief system, but they're holding on to a idea that's not the truth. And so what I say is just be willing. Be willing to feel. Take away a name. Take away a label. Take away an identity of what you've learned. And allow yourself maybe the opportunity to feel differently, to feel better. So it's an approach. It's an ability to accept that people are always going to be frightened of something that they have never experienced, but they've only heard about. And I feel that's where we close off our hearts. We don't have empathy for someone that has a different path than myself. But I feel that if you're in the healing modalities and you're in service, you want people to feel better. And I know these tools work. And they work because you feel your life force. So it's not intellectual. I can't approach it from the intellect. I have to let people trust it somatically. So I have them just sit. I say, just sit and feel your breath. That's yoga. Sit and move your arms up with the breath, move them down. Now your blood is changing. You can feel the tips of your fingers. Something has shifted somatically. That's all yoga is. It's not trying to brainwash you, not trying to put you into an altered state. I'm not hypnotizing you. I want you consciously just to feel your aliveness. And if that's still not appropriate and they're not comfortable with it, well, then they're not ready. You know, it'd be like anything in life. If I don't believe in Western medicine and I need to have chemotherapy, if I don't put a little faith in the doctor, it's not going to work.
Sure.
So again, it comes from the practitioner, the person that's receiving. They have to at least be willing to participate in it.
Let's talk about the group of women over 40, because you said that the fastest growing group is people between 20 and 40. Mm-hmm. But women going through midlife and menopause and perimenopause are grappling, especially going into the 21st century, with faster and faster technologies and everyone feeling as if our lives are spinning out of control. So why do these modalities seem to resonate with women over 40?
Because the therapeutic approach is finally being understood, that yoga is not for the young or the fit. I have people call all the time. They say, I can't do yoga. I'm too old. And I say, yoga meets you where you are. Where you are is alive. So let's work from there, because we're changing the mind bias. But now people that are going through menopause, they're going through a shift of life, and they're realizing that their bodies have been worn out and they're maybe agitated, or there's more anxiety or depression coming about because of exhaustion. These tools have become so wonderfully received in communities for people over 40, giving people an alternative way to appreciate wellness. Now we're looking at the complementary of that with better eating, better food choices, looking at sleep patterns, looking at the ability to take in a deeper breath and exhale. People don't even know how to breathe. They only use one little part of their diaphragmic breath, is that, because that muscle is involuntary. It's going to breathe no matter what. But to take in a breath, you're actually learning how to use a diaphragm and expand the chest. And it contracts the belly on the exhale. Those are tools that anyone can do at any age. We work with elderly in senior homes. We're seeing just sitting up straight, just posture alone will change your mood.
And in terms of your own practice, what do you practice and how often do you do it?
I practice every day. I told you before in the interview, I just said, imagine you wouldn't brush your teeth. Can you imagine going out without brushing your teeth and having spinach on your teeth all day long? The gift of brushing your teeth is you feel better about your smile. You feel better about your breath. You can go out and meet people. I practice every day because I feel better about myself, and I feel calmer. I feel more relaxed. I feel more alert, and I'm more focused. I feel I'm able to present in the world. And so I practice every day. That doesn't mean I'm practicing an hour, 2 hours on a yoga mat. I'm practicing my little practice, which might be 20 minutes that I have that my teacher has given me. I practice every day, mostly in the morning to start my day, and if not, in the afternoon. But I do it every day, and it's become a lifestyle for me. I know when I don't practice, I don't feel as good.
Lisa?
My practice is also every day. Like Laura Jane says, it's really more of a lifestyle. It's something that brings me to a place of calm. It sort of resets me or sets me to move on with the day. I find that I can find more confidence. I can find more self-compassion and love if I sit and meditate. And then I can bring that out into the world. So it is very much a lifestyle. And the mindfulness piece comes throughout my day, even when I'm not meditating, as I move through my day, being mindful as I do activities around the house, being mindful as I engage with my husband or my kids or whoever, is that my attention is there for them 100%. So my mindfulness and my meditation practice, my meditation starts usually in the morning. I do my practice. And then I carry through that mindfulness as much as I can throughout my day. So I have a better appreciation for my life and more gratitude for what's around me because I take time and notice that. Not that I'm not busy and not hectic and that my mind isn't racing around. It does. But I can find a way through my practice, through my tools, to come back and focus on the moment and be in appreciation and love for that moment and for myself. Because I find that the only way to loving kindness for yourself or to give out to the world is you have to practice it first for yourself. So for me, it goes into all of that, the emotional part as well as the physical and the mind. It definitely is part of who I am every day. And I do, just like Laura Jane, I feel it if I have not done my practice and I try to come back to it, even if it's a 5-minute meditation, and it helps me.
And in terms of cross therapies, do either or both of you recommend other Eastern modalities or other practices in conjunction with what you teach? Laura?
Oh, I feel that yoga is not the only path. It embraces so much of the mind, the body, and the spirit. But there's any gateway, people doing Tai Chi, Qigong as a physical breath movement practice is wonderful. Modalities of looking at how to be creative with art, expressing different drawing. There's now Zen coloring books to allow the mind to settle in with the coloring. Anything that will settle your focusing so that you're not constantly distracted outside with our doubts and our worries and our fears. We propel this world through those fears, but they're thoughts. They're not real. When you come back to the breath or to an experience, it's all in the experiential now. So anything you do that's going to bring your mind into balance, I say do it. Because we are so imbalanced, we have to keep moving in a direction of loving kindness to bring people back into the moment.
And Lisa?
I certainly am a proponent for yoga and meditation, but I often have people come to my meditation and say, I kind of get into this mindset when I run, for instance. I go out and run, and I'll say, well, then, you know, that's what is helping you, because all of a sudden everything's coming into focus. Their mind has left that busy world and it's come back into that one focus. So I certainly encourage whatever it is that works for them. And people should understand it doesn't have to always come from yoga and meditation. That can be some of your tools or one of your tools, but you may find it in other parts of your life by how you exercise or getting out and walking in nature. Or like Laura said, artwork, doing art and the coloring books and the Zen tangles and all of those forms are all adding to, you know, what's great is we have so many tools now. Our toolbox can fill, so we have some place to go when big things come into our life and we need to find some space, we need to breathe again, and we need to put things in perspective.
I would like to add one more thing about that I missed when I was explaining about yoga. The most important quality is not just the body and the breath. The piece of self-reflection is so important in yoga because it's the mind witnessing and reflecting on what is happening in the moment. It's the mind's observer. It's what Lisa was talking about, being the witness all day long, being mindful all day long. And yoga is asking us to go deeper and just be aware, just be conscious. What are you feeling right now? What are you experiencing? What's happening right now with your breath? To be the witness to the experience allows you to become mindful of every action of your life through your thoughts.
We've been talking with a yoga teacher, a studio owner, and a mindfulness meditation teacher about the benefits and new age practices of both yoga and mindful meditation. Laura Jane Mellencamp can be found at www.yogaamongfriends.com. Lisa Sparagna at Lisa, Sparagna.com. I want to thank you again for being my guests, Laura Jane and Lisa.
Thank you for having us.
And to the listeners, thank you so much for joining me. I'm Sema Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. And until next time, I hope you take care.